this is Dr. Anita with another Diamond Moment. As you know, the diamonds of our lives are produced through time, heat, and pressure. Pressure. But it's what we do with these pressured experiences in our lives that can either enhance us or detract from who we are. We have been talking about tough questions. We've been asking ourselves tough questions. We're looking at evaluating or viewing ourselves. Are we viewing ourselves through antiquated eyes? I asked you in our last episode and suggested, if you hadn't done so, to take a look at a new documentary that the gospel recording artist Kirk Franklin has released. It's a beautiful story. It's very emotional, but he gives such a deep insight into not only himself, his life, but also if we critically evaluate, we can look at some generational influences that came to play in his life that not only affected him as an individual, but also his son. And so as we were going through last time, we started looking at how these generational influences can affect us. What are these generations? Why would they be influential in our lives today? This stuff is from years gone by and days gone by. So why is it still important? Because we were raised by the people who had particular social influences and generational influences in their lives. If they were not encouraged, if they were not emotionally healthy, if they were not taught to bring in different elements of their environment, how do they raise someone to be better? We always use this term, if I knew better, I'd do better. So if we didn't know better, how could we do better? And if we as people living in 2023 have all this knowledge, we do ourselves an injustice if we don't evaluate our lives in light of the information that we have now, with an understanding of the people that we interacted with a greater understanding of the people who deposited into our lives, because what was deposited into us, we inadvertently will deposit into our children, and they into their children, and their children, and their children. If we really desire to live to the highest that we can, we owe it to ourselves to take into consideration all the factors. Sometimes as individuals, it's easier to look at the other guy. It's easier than, as scripture would say, getting the speck out of your brother's eye when you have a mote, a whole telephone pole in yours. But sometimes being able to see their lives gives us the reflection that we need in order to see our lives. Sometimes looking at someone else gives us the objectivity to step back a little bit. You know, the forest and the tree thing. You can't see the forest for the tree. This block in your view, if we can draw back just a little bit, sometimes we can get a peek at our own lives. And in so doing, we're able to make some decisions on how we choose to live our lives. So the last time we were talking about this, we didn't get very far. I basically just kind of highlighted for you what these generations are: lost generation, greatest generation, the silent generation, baby boomers, generation X, millennials, generation Z, generation Alpha. So we just kind of ran through that briefly. If you didn't get that information, go back to the titles where we begin to look at generational influences. Go back to that point. what my intention is, because this his documentary was really good, and I usually give you the opportunity to self-reflect. So I give you small pieces, small bites at a time, so that you can go back and look at your life and determine where you can make changes. How does this stuff fit in? What do I see that's consistent in what's being discussed and what actually I've experienced? Now, because this is such a riveting documentary, and because it has the capability to build so much in the foundation of who you are, who we are, I want to do this a little differently. And I actually think that this may be the case because soon we're going to begin to educate ourselves in some different ways. We're going to begin to look at some books. We're going to do some reading. We're going to be able to kind of share what we've learned in that time of development. And to prolong it, I think would defeat the purpose. So we're going to, in this series, especially going forward, I'm going to speed it up. Where normally we do 15 minutes, 14 minutes basically, and we'll keep that time format. But what I'm going to do is to post them more frequently. So until we have completed the Kirk Franklin and his documentary evaluation, until we've looked at that thoroughly, I will probably be posting daily, possibly every other day. And so it may be that you'll get a new episode of this Generational Influences series that we're doing. And we may do that Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I'm just kind of going through to see how that works. But I do want you to have the time and opportunity to digest some of this, to think it through, to look at your own life, and to critically evaluate your thinking and what may have been hindering you in reaching your goals, and being able to really discern who you were meant to be, being able to distinguish positive and negative influences in your life. Who are you listening to? And again, looking back at these different generational influences to determine how you will live your life today, because that directly affects how your children live, and in turn, how their children will live and their children will live generations down. So as we looked at this, and we talked on the last episode about the person who raised him, and he gives some critique, some issues and understanding on the way that he was raised and some of the limitations that came to play because of this lady who raised him. Given the generation that he was 4 years old and she was already 60 at this time, we could look at it in terms of a Gen X person, which is who he is, 52 years old, Generation X. And his mother would have been a baby boomer, but it would have been a person about a grandmother's age. So now he is being raised by a person who, for all intents and purposes, came from that silent generation. The one thing that we know about the silent generation is specifically the name, which is they were silent. They didn't tell you anything about anything about anything. And we talked about why. Because the silent generation, in many instances, were their parents was a lost generation. These are folks coming straight out of Reconstruction. These are people that are still dealing with the Wild Wild West. These are people that did not have a voice. So in order to protect your child, you teach your child, just be quiet. Just don't say anything. Don't look them in their eyes. Don't cause any problem. There's nobody that's going to help you in a Wild Wild West situation. We've all seen enough cowboy pictures to know that sometime by the time the sheriff got there, everybody's dead. All the people are laying out in the street. So they were raised in a time where they didn't have immediate help. If they came up about in that time of Reconstruction, this is a time when the Ku Klux Klan was live and moving around much more so than they are today. And so when we look at that, we understand that people were under duress. They could not speak out. So now you get your child, you get to your child in order to protect your child. You tell your child not to speak out. Her child or children's generation, had she had any, would have been that baby boomer generation. So now you give your child, because times have changed, the opportunity to speak out. We talked about the fact that baby boomers were the ones that were leading the peace demonstrations and marching in the street and protesting the Vietnam War and determining who they were going to be. I'm black and I'm proud and all of that. So now you get this. And you get Kirk Franklin, who would have been the silent generation's grandchild. And you give him with a generation missing between the two of you, you give him everything you have. What she did is that she gave him a home. If you think back in terms of the African-American community, people didn't adopt black babies. They were left. So what she did do is that she gave him a home. She came from the greatest generation would have been, the lost generation would have been her parent who told her not to say anything. So what would she teach him? Nothing. She's in the silent generation. You just do the best that you can. You provide what you can. But he was in need of something else because he, as Gen X, came up in the time where probably crack had taken over the community, where his mother, who was in that baby boomer generation, was no longer in his life. He needed somebody to talk to him. We're at a time now where people talked about stuff, where people explained things, where youth had a voice, and he had no one to speak into his life. One thing that I hear frequently is that people needed those rites of passage that other communities had. The way that the Jewish community ushers their youth into adulthood, the way that the Spanish Hispanic community issues their youth into adulthood, we didn't have. He didn't have a person to speak into his life. And as a result, he made some really glaring mistakes. Mistakes that were his son had to live with, and also mistakes that he is still going through now. But as we look at him and what his mother, where his mother was lacking, we see that his mother was probably a baby boomer who was raised by a person from the silent generation. One of the other issues that we see in this documentary is the way that relationships work intergenerationally, looking at how they work. And that being, he had an aunt, his mother had a sister, not too much younger than she. They would both look to be in the baby boomer generation. But it appears that he had a relationship with this aunt. If you remember, and one of the main standout points that I saw was that she demanded respect. She demanded that he call her by her title, aunt, and then her name, not Sandra. And so when you realize that there's a portion of that baby boomer generation that really does speak up for itself, that does require that the younger generation be respectful to them. And what that says to me is this was not the first time that he saw her. He'd had a relationship with her all along. And the fact that because he was angry with his mother, he lashed out at her and she made an objection to that. In that she requested, the moment that she stopped him, he immediately knew what was wrong. He got on board and they moved forward. He called her Aunt Sandra. In the next scene, you see that he not only called her Aunt Sandra, but it was written on the screen, Aunt Sandra. So I think that he got it. And also she may have required that in order to allow her to be presented in the documentary. I'm going to stop here. We're going to continue with this conversation. We're going to continue looking at the differences in generations and the differences that they make within our life and our socialization and how we handle things. This is Dr. Anita. Join me on my website at dranitamc.com next time.